This special masterclass edition of Meaningful Impact will feature an interview with Comcast's Tiffany Payne, who leads and mentors a team of more than 25 CSR professionals. Tiffany and her corporate responsibility team serve more than 30,000 Comcast employees, nearly 10 million customers, as well as the communities where they work and live. While managing a multi-million dollar cash and in-kind giving budget, Tiffany has learned a lot about making the business case for corporate social responsibility, which she'll share today using Comcast's Project Up initiative as the real-world example. Tiffany will share her insights about how to make the business case for CSR based on what she refers to as mission-aligned investments with a long-term strategic return, which can yield expansion into previously underserved markets, first-mover advantage, and products with broader appeal that lead to mainstream competitive advantage. Tiffany will also offer insights on how to make the business case for CSR based on the skills and leadership training yielded by corporate-sponsored volunteerism, the recruiting and retention benefits of a purpose-driven corporate culture, and the dividend of strategic philanthropy. Tiffany will also address the difference between community relations versus community investments. She explains how community investment fosters goodwill among policymakers and how the CSR halo effect yields benefit of the doubt if a PR crisis were to occur. All that and more is on this Business Case for CSR episode of Meaningful Impact.
Welcome to Meaningful Impact, the podcast where you'll hear inspiring stories about purpose-driven leaders who make a meaningful impact for their companies by making a meaningful impact for a cause. Here's your host, Michael Organ.
Tiffany Payne is a Division Vice President of External Affairs at Comcast. In that role, she champions her division's participation in the Project Up initiative, which is Comcast's $1 billion commitment to advancing digital opportunity and economic mobility. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be here.
So as I understand it, you're responsible for Project Up for your division, and there's three pillars to it, correct?
Exactly. Yes. Those three pillars of Project Up are connectivity, skills and jobs, and entrepreneurship.
You know, I am thrilled to get a chance to talk with you today because you don't see corporate responsibility or even corporate philanthropy as a cost center. Instead, you believe that corporate social responsibility, when done right, can actually yield competitive advantage.
CSR, it's not an optional layer of our business strategy. It's really foundational on how successful companies compete and win. You know, we live in a world where consumers are more informed, more connected, more vocal than ever. Trust is currency. Trust doesn't come from slick marketing. It comes from actions. Companies with strong CSR are authentic, they're accountable, they accept responsibilities where they work or serve. They show, not just tell, what they stand for. Consumers take notice of that. 63% of consumers buy or advocate for brands based on shared values. CSR really helps to build that connection. It makes your brand more than just a product or service. It makes you a partner in your customers' values.
What would you say the difference is between general corporate responsibility and strategic corporate social responsibility?
Business alignment. It's really looking for ROI for both your community partner and how that also fits in from a business strategy perspective.
Given that Meaningful Impact is about promoting mutually beneficial corporate citizenship, what I'd love to do with you today is to make the business case for CSR. See where it has opportunities to have a positive ROI on an organization, in your case, Comcast. Let's start with market share in terms of customer acquisition. Investing in doing the right thing for an underserved community can sometimes lead to first mover advantage in an untapped market. Is that the case for Comcast's Internet Essentials program?
Offering a low-cost, high-speed internet, it's not a big revenue generator in the short term, but we've always taken that long-term view with it. By connecting over 10 million individuals to the internet, many for the first time, we've helped to unlock access to education and jobs and healthcare and civic participation. From that, it's really built trust and loyalty and long-term brand equity in our communities that have been historically overlooked by traditional providers. Being a first mover in this space absolutely gave Comcast a strategic edge. From that, we really learned how to build relationships with nonprofit partners, school districts, housing authorities, and how to really understand the needs of our communities. While the initial ROI wasn't about dollars, it was about the return on impact and on trust. And that's been tremendous for us. Over time, when customers grow and move and upskill and scale their businesses, guess who they remember? They remember those that were there early for them and stayed committed.
Why don't we take a step back for a second? What is the Comcast Internet Essentials Program?
So our Internet Essentials Program has been in place for, more than 12 years, helping underrepresented communities get access to the internet, digital skills training, subsidized computers to become equal players in the digital world.
Well, given that my own Comcast service costs $97 per month, I imagine that you're not making much money, at least in the short term, on Internet Essentials customers who are paying as little as $14.95 a month.
Yes, you're right. We always saw this as this isn't going to be a big revenue generator in the short term, but we always take that long-term view. As people unlock access to education and jobs and healthcare and they really move up, they come to Comcast for other services or as they need more speed or other services in their life, it gets them in the door.
I suppose then it's a matter of perspective. I think you could as easily see the Internet Essentials Program as a money loser as a loss leader.
Yeah. And honestly, I would call it a mission aligned investment with a long-term strategic return. Sure, from a short-term P&L perspective, it doesn't operate like our core business, but it was never meant to. If we looked at it purely through the lens of subscriber revenue, we'd miss the bigger picture. Internet Essentials created a pathway to future customers, brand loyalty, and it positioned Comcast as a leader in digital opportunity before it became a national priority. So I think it's better described as a value generator for the communities that we serve, for our reputation, and our long-term resilience as a company.
A mission-aligned initiative with a long-term strategic return.
Yes.
Let's go back then to 2011 when the Internet Essential Program began. If you knew then what you have measured by now, how would you have sold the program internally?
So if I had a time machine, I'd frame it like this. We're not just launching a discount internet product. We're launching a long-term brand differentiator that will define who we are in the eyes of future generations. And I'd show that families, when given affordable, reliable access, don't just come online. They thrive and they remember the company that empowered them. Internally, I'd say this program will become our most powerful reputation asset. It's going to shape our government partnerships, our community trust, and our workforce pride. And it's not charity, it's strategic future forward business stewardship.
If Comcast Internet Essentials could be seen as a gateway to attracting new residential customers, could Comcast Rise be seen as a gateway for attracting new business customers?
That's a really insightful comparison. Yes, in many ways, Comcast Rise can absolutely be seen as that gateway to long-term relationships with small business customers. Just like Internet Essentials met individuals where they were by removing those barriers to broadband access, Comcast Rise meets small businesses where they are. They're often under-resourced or overburdened. Our goal with Comcast Rise is economic empowerment. It's about helping small businesses survive, scale, and thrive through grants, tech makeovers, media exposure, and digital tools. When you show up like that, early and generously and with intention, those business owners remember. So whether it's needing faster internet for their point of sale system or upgrading to business grade cybersecurity or expanding to new locations, when we become a trusted partner, we've earned that through the action that we take. So yes, Rise opens the door to new business relationships, but more than that, it opens the door to community-rooted growth, which aligns perfectly with Comcast's long-term vision.
Can you describe Comcast Rise from the small business's perspective? What do they get?
So all businesses that are selected for Comcast Rise benefit from five key areas. One is consultation, an assessment of their business and tactical planning, business-to-business coaching. They'll get mentorship advice on how to grow their business. Education resources, so they get educational content resources that are tailored to their individual companies based on where they're at in their business life cycle. They get a monetary grant of $5,000 to invest and grow in sustainability. And they get creative production and media. So they'll get turnkey production of a 30-second TV commercial, plus a media strategy consultation and 180-day media placement schedule. And then finally, they get a technology makeover. So they get computer equipment and internet, voice and cybersecurity for 12 months.
When we return, Paula asks Tiffany about inclusive corporate citizenship that is so mutually beneficial. It actually makes business cases stronger.
The Meaningful Impact Awards are a high honor for exemplary corporate citizenship. If you are responsible for marketing, public relations, or corporate responsibility at your organization, you'll appreciate the publicist-friendly features of the Meaningful Impact Awards. To learn more about nominating a purpose-driven leader or organization for a Meaningful Impact Award, visit meaningfulimpact.com.
Sometimes corporate citizenship is so valuable to a company that it's hard to distinguish from profit-oriented decision-making. For instance, last year alone, I understand that Comcast extended its cable network to over 1.25 million new homes and businesses. Was that network expansion primarily in formerly underrepresented areas such as rural and lower income communities? If so, what was CSR's role in determining where to target your broadband network's expansion?
It's a thoughtful question. You're right. Today, the line between corporate citizenship and business strategy is increasingly blurred.
In a good way, right?
Yes. It's definitely a good thing. Last year, our expansion to 1.25 million homes and businesses wasn't purely about coverage. It was about inclusion. So many of those builds did reach places where broadband access was either non-existent or insufficient, such as rural areas. And while network expansion decisions are led by our tech and business teams, CSR plays a role in identifying digital opportunity gaps and helping inform where our efforts can have the greatest community impact. For example, through our work on Internet Essentials and Lift Zones, we're constantly in touch with our local nonprofits, our schools, our housing authorities, and municipalities. That community gives us a real time map of where connectivity is wanted and needed for economic mobility and educational opportunity, public health. So when our engineering teams are making build decisions, we bring that community lens to the table. It's not, can we expand here? It's, should we? And who benefits if we do so? That's the evolution of CSR today. It's not just philanthropic. It's really embedded in how we grow, where we invest, and how we ensure progress is shared across the communities that we serve.
And I feel like that inclusion extends not only to where you make your next investment in a network, but also in the tools that you provide to your customers, including in the way that you develop your products. CSR first efforts, such as inclusive product design, can lead to innovations that yield mainstream competitive advantage, right?
Yes. And that's one of my favorite examples of where CSR and innovation really intersect in powerful ways. When you lead with inclusion, when you design for people that have been historically left out, you end up creating solutions that work better for everyone. One of our greatest examples of that is the Xfinity voice remote. It was originally designed with accessibility in mind for users who are visually impaired, have limited mobility, or need a more intuitive interface. But it turned out to be a game changer for broader audiences too. So today it's one of the most popular features we offer because it's fast, simple, lets anyone say what they want to watch without memorizing channel numbers or navigating menus. And that's inclusive design creating universal value for everyone.
Intuitively, employees would rather work for a company with a good reputation than work for a company with a neutral or bad reputation. Presumably, corporate involvement in communities where the workers live has a significant impact on local reputation. Given that, I'm curious about Comcast's use of the term community investment rather than community relations. Why does Comcast consider its community involvement to be an investment?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it really speaks to Comcast values and approach to community impact. The word investment, it's very intentional. It reflects the belief that our work in the community isn't transactional or symbolic. It's a long-term strategic commitment that really creates shared value for both the communities that we serve and for our business. Whereas community relations can sometimes imply one-way communication. It shows up for visibility, for goodwill, but investment really signals that two-way sustained partnership where we put real resources, funding, skills, time, technology into programs that drive economic mobility and digital opportunity and workforce development. We expect a return, not in dollars, but in impact. For example, through our work with Project Up or partnerships with local nonprofits, it's not simply about writing checks. It's about co-creating solutions that help more people get connected, prepare for the future of work, and strengthen the communities where our employees live and work. And that's the kind of impact that builds brand trust, attracts talent, and earns long-term customer loyalty. So investment captures both the business case as well as the human case.
I have a feeling that Lyft Zones would be another example. Can you talk about what Lyft Zones are and how they help both the community and Comcast?
Yes. So Comcast Lyft Zones, they are community-focused spaces that provide free high-speed Wi-Fi and digital resources that are in safe and accessible locations, such as community centers and YMCAs. Many of our Lyft Zone partners provide access to digital skills content. So they help those users navigate online learning and improve their digital proficiency. Overall, the Comcast Lyft Zones really play a vital role in supporting our communities by facilitating internet access, enhancing digital literacy, and promoting educational and economic opportunities.
By choosing to form partnerships rather than writing a check, how does that help Comcast ensure that its philanthropic goals are done most successfully?
Our nonprofit partners are absolutely central to how we drive meaningful impact in the communities we serve. They are the experts. They have those deep relationships and a clear understanding of the local needs on the ground. By supporting them through grants, in-kind resources like broadband services and team-up volunteer efforts, we're able to help scale their work while advancing our shared goals. These benefits are truly mutual. For our partners, Comcast brings the resources, the reach, the long-term commitment, and not just that one-time donation. And for Comcast, these partnerships ensure that our community investments are authentic, they're targeted, they're sustainable, and they create tremendous value for our brand. Internally, these partnerships also fuel employee pride and purpose. When our teams see the real-world impact of their time and talents, it deepens their engagement and reinforces that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves. So it's really a win-win. Our partners gain the support and scale, communities benefit from expanded access and opportunity, and Comcast strengthens its role as a trusted long-term community partner.
Furthering that win-win, Comcast has expanded the focus of its corporate-sponsored volunteerism from a single featured day of impact to an all-year program. I imagine that one of the benefits of that is being able to offer more skill-specific activities that enable Comcast employees to either practice or gain new skills.
Yes, that's been very intentional. So while our group-based volunteer events really help to build camaraderie and community presence, the skills-based volunteering opportunities are about deepening impact through unique talents and expertise of our employees. Whether it's a marketing manager who's mentoring a small business owner through Comcast Rise, or an IT professional that's helping nonprofits improve their cybersecurity, or a technician that's teaching digital literacy to seniors. These experiences allow our employees to apply their skills in meaningful ways while also stretching into new leadership and teaching. The beauty of skills-based volunteerism is that it's a two-way value exchange. So nonprofits get high impact support that they might not otherwise have, and our employees gain the confidence, the visibility, and cross-functional experience. It's especially powerful for our early career professionals, those who are looking to grow in areas like coaching or project management or public speaking. We've heard from our employees that these experiences not only fuel their sense of purpose, they also help them build new relationships and sharpen their skills and even discover untapped passions that guide them to their career path within Comcast.
And beyond the early stage, it can even be helpful for rising managers too. A lot of big companies encourage their rising managers to gain executive experience by participating on nonprofit boards. I understand that Comcast does too. In your particular case, board service training isn't just a passive program. In your region, you're knocking on the doors of rising managers and making introductions for them with nonprofit organizations in need of board members, right?
That's absolutely right. At Comcast, we actively cultivate board service as part of developing the next generation of community-minded leaders. And we're very intentional about matching our rising leaders with nonprofit organizations whose missions align their passions with their particular skill set. When I mentor a leader who's unsure about adding something else to their plate, I really start by reframing that opportunity. I don't position nonprofit board services extra work. I position it as executive experience in real time. It's a powerful space to really develop strategic thinking, governance skills, cross-sector leadership, and a broader community lens, all which are critical for upward mobility in today's business environment. I also share that nonprofit board service is one of the most authentic ways to build influence and visibility, both inside and outside of the company.
Do you have an example to offer of a Comcast employee who leveraged volunteer board service to build skills that was actually helpful in their promotion path at Comcast?
Sure. One example that stands out is a leader who served on the board of United Way. Initially, they were a board member, and then over years of service, they rose to become chair of the board. It wasn't just a title. It was a hands-on leadership opportunity that stretched his skills in governance and strategic planning and public speaking. And what's powerful is that his board service didn't just happen in isolation. It was integrated with his professional growth at Comcast. And he brought those skills back to the business and led with greater confidence and was ultimately promoted to a senior leadership role. What I love about that story is that it reflects how Comcast sees leadership development holistically. We encourage employees to show up in the community. We invest in experiences that help them lead in the community. And then in return, they become stronger and more well-rounded leaders inside the company. It's a win-win for the individual as well as for Comcast and the organizations that we support.
That one's got to make you proud.
Yeah. Yeah.
From an employee recruiting perspective, how does purpose attract talent?
Purpose is no longer nice to have. It's a core differentiator for today's talent. People want more than a paycheck. They want to know that their work matters and that their employer is aligned with their values and that they'll have opportunities to contribute to something bigger than themselves. At Comcast, we see that play out every day. So whether it's our longstanding commitment to digital opportunity through programs like Internet Essentials and Project Up, or employee-led volunteerism through Team Up, these initiatives signal to candidates that Comcast is a company with both ambition and a conscience. For many of our prospective employees, especially younger professionals, purpose is the reason that they apply. And it's also the reason that they stay. Ultimately, purpose helps us attract talent who are not only skilled, but who also bring passion and empathy and a mindset of service.
Is purpose arguably even more important when recruiting top talent for leadership positions?
Yes, without a doubt. Purpose has become a strategic filter for senior talent. So today's top leaders aren't only looking for compensation packages or titles, but they're asking, what does this company stand for? Is this where I can leave a meaningful legacy? You know, will my leadership contribute to something bigger than business results? And because we embed CSR into our business strategy, not just philanthropy, it gives senior leaders a platform to innovate and differentiate and influence across sectors.
Let's look at this the other way around. Is there any evidence to suggest that if a recruit is values-oriented and purpose-driven and chooses an organization for those reasons, that they are in fact more likely to be a conscientious, hardworking employee?
Yes, both the research and my lived experience at Comcast support that. People are values-aligned. They're more likely to be deeply engaged, self-motivated, and committed, not just to do the work, but to do it well. From a research perspective, Gallup research consistently shows that purpose-driven employees are more engaged. Their engagement is directly linked to higher productivity, better performance, lower turnover. A Harvard Business Review study shows that employees who find meaning in their work are 3 times more likely to stay with their organizations. And internally, we've seen that employees who participate in community impact programs like Team Up often show higher levels of collaboration, leadership, and initiative back in their day-to-day roles. Beyond the stats, the why matters. purpose-driven employees often bring a sense of ownership to their work because they see their role as part of a bigger mission. That mindset leads to more thoughtful decisions and stronger connections with teammates and willingness to go the extra mile. So yes, hiring for values alignment isn't just good for culture, it's also good for performance and retention too.
When we return, we'll talk about the considerable dividend of strategic philanthropy and the halo effect of corporate responsibility.
I'm thrilled to tell you about the Meaningful Impact Awards, which are a high honor for corporate citizenship. The Meaningful Impact Awards recognize projects that benefit both a company and the greater good. Unlike annual award competitions, which consider nominations just once per year, nominations for Meaningful Impact Awards are typically reviewed within 2 weeks. Feel free to download our award entry kit at meaningfulimpact.com/kit.
In the old days, corporate giving tended to be, well, be charitable and say opportunistic, sometimes based on the personal interests of senior leadership. These days, corporate giving tends to be much more strategic, with one or more signature causes receiving at least 20% of the company's philanthropy budget. What is Comcast's approach to philanthropy?
Yeah, we focus our philanthropic efforts on strategic investment areas. So it's digital opportunity, it's economic mobility, it's youth development. These causes closely align with societal needs and our business strengths, which allows us to leverage our resources. Importantly, philanthropy at Comcast is integrated with our broader CSR strategy and operational priorities that ensures our giving is aligned with our company's mission and delivers real value for both communities and the business.
In terms of competing for limited resources, not only are there a limited number of causes that Comcast can support, there's also competition for CSR funds at all. Any of the annual corporate giving that you oversee could just as easily have been, or more easily, frankly, allocated to Comcast's own advertising or research and development or staff training programs. So purely from a shareholder's perspective, I mean, a financially oriented shareholder's perspective, why does strategic philanthropy represent the best use of the money that you do allocate?
From a shareholder perspective, every dollar invested must create long-term value. Strategic philanthropy does exactly that by enhancing Comcast's competitive position in several ways. So first, strategic philanthropy drives community goodwill and trust, which are critical intangible assets. Second, these investments support workforce development and talent pipelines. By funding programs that build digital skills and economic opportunity, we're helping to cultivate the future employees and innovators that Comcast will need to thrive. Third, philanthropy integrated with CSR strengthens our brand and reputation, which helps to then attract and retain both customers and top-tier talent, which then reduces costs associated with customer churn and employee turnover. And lastly, when communities thrive, so do our markets. So strategic giving can stimulate local economies and create new business opportunities and foster innovation ecosystems that benefit Comcast in the long run. So while it might be tempting to think of philanthropy as a cost, when it's done strategically, it's smart investment in sustainable growth and risk mitigation that ultimately benefits shareholders and stakeholders alike.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the halo effect that corporate responsibility can bring. It's generally agreed that the CSR halo effect mitigates the risk of damage to a company if a PR crisis occurs. There are two competing theories about why the halo effect works. The benefit of the doubt theory suggests that a favorable prior reputation reduces attributions of crisis responsibility. On the other hand, the shield theory suggests that a positive prior reputation actually deflects news to the contrary, causing fans to simply ignore bad news. What's your belief?
I think both theories offer something useful, but I guess I would lean more towards the benefit of the doubt side. So when a company consistently demonstrates integrity and impact and investment in the communities it serves, it earns credibility. That credibility gives stakeholders, employees, customers, regulators, even media reason to pause and say, you know, let's see the full picture before we judge. It's not about deflecting criticism. It's about having enough trust in the bank that people assume positive intent while the factors come to light. CSR, I think, helps to create what I call reputation buffers. in a high stakes, always on media landscape, it gives us resilience. And stakeholders are more likely to give us the benefit of the doubt because they've seen consistent behavior over time. Internally, that same consistency builds trust with employees, which is just as critical during any reputational challenge. In the end, strong CSR builds more than goodwill. It builds reputational capital. And when a crisis hits, that capital really becomes an asset.
I'll be candid. Until I met you, my eyes tended to glaze over when CSR practitioners talked about the importance of transparency and accountability. That seems self-evident and hopefully standard practice. I feel like transparency and accountability become compelling only when absent. Lack of transparency or lack of accountability can lead to corporate social irresponsibility, which makes news. But you have a different take on it. You contend that corporate transparency and accountability can actually yield competitive advantage. Why?
You're right. Transparency and accountability have often been treated like baseline expectations. But I believe that when a company chooses to lead with them proactively, not just reactively, they can absolutely become competitive differentiators. In a world where trust in institutions is declining, transparency builds credibility. And when we openly share the progress that we've made through investments in our people, our communities, and our environment, people are more likely to believe what we say and support what we do, and then engage with us more deeply. From an operational standpoint, accountability fuels better decision-making. When teams know their work will be measured, reported, and evaluated, they're more likely to align with the strategy, course correct early, and then innovate faster. It creates a culture of continuous improvement. So yes, transparency and accountability can seem like internal hygiene factors, but when practiced intentionally and shared externally, they become strategic assets. They tell your customers, employees, and investors, we know where we're going, we're willing to show our work, and we're committed to doing it better every day.
We focus mostly on the role that you play leading your division's corporate citizenship initiatives. Another aspect of your external affairs job, I assume, is trying to influence local and regional government officials, correct?
Yes, it is. I wear both the community impact hat and the external affairs hat. As I lead our corporate citizenship work across the West Division, I'm part of a team that is also responsible for building trusted relationships with local and regional government officials. Ultimately, the integration of CSR and external affairs strengthens our credibility, it deepens our relationships, and it accelerates impact for Comcast and the communities that we serve.
Not only do your activities create trust, it even goes potentially beyond that to goodwill. How does the goodwill yielded by the community impact help you in your role?
Yeah, that goodwill created through community impact work, it's foundational to my success as a VP of External Affairs. It's what allows me to walk into the room as a trusted partner who's actively invested in the well-being of the community. Programs like Internet Essentials and Comcast Rise and Lift Zones create relational capital, and they demonstrate that we're showing up, that we're putting resources behind issues such as digital opportunity and economic mobility, and it opens doors and deepens conversations and builds long-term trust with our key stakeholders. That goodwill really becomes a strategic asset, and it makes it easier to have difficult conversations and build coalitions and to get to yes faster, because people already see us as part of the solution. It also strengthens our internal reputation, helping employees feel proud of who they work for and why. So for me, community impact, it's a core strategy, and the goodwill that it generates gives me that credibility, flexibility, and momentum in every other part of my role.
When we return, I'll ask Tiffany the big question.
The Big Question is brought to you by CSR.org, which showcases purpose-driven leaders who do well for their companies by doing good for a cause. Discover inspiring examples of corporate social responsibility at CSR.org. That's CSR.org.
We've spent a bunch of time talking about the business case of CSR for Comcast and for everybody else, but what's the business case of CSR for you?
I get to wake up every day knowing that the work I do matters to people, and not just shareholders or executives, but to students who are logging in for their first online class or for families getting connected for the first time. It gives me goosebumps. Purpose fuels my performance. It gives me clarity, direction, resilience, especially in challenging times. And I stayed with Comcast because it's given me room to lead with my heart and impact with scale.
You recently celebrated your 25th anniversary at Comcast. Congratulations. That's gold watch time for some people, yet you still have a glint in your eye and a pep in your step. What has a purpose-driven career in social impact meant for you?
25 years is a long time in one place. But the truth is, it doesn't feel that long because my work has always been tied to something larger than myself. You know, having the opportunity to build programs that close digital opportunity gaps and support small businesses and strengthen communities, that's what keeps me energized. It's definitely my calling. Yes, I've stayed for 25 years and I still have that glint in my eye because I know I'm not done yet. There's still a lot more work to do and partnerships to build and more lives to change. That's what keeps me going.
I imagine that there are people listening right now who want some of what you have, that are seeking inspiration, but are feeling burnt out, or at least they're hoping to infuse greater meaning into their work. What's your advice to them?
First, I would say you're not alone. Burnout is real, especially for those of us who have been in the CSR space where the work is mission driven, but the pace is relentless and the stakes feel very personal. My advice would be to reconnect with your why. You know, when I have felt too stretched or exhausted, I've learned to pause and reflect, why did I get into this work in the first place? And who am I fighting for? And what kind of impact do I want to leave behind? And the clarity helps you to refocus, not on everything, but on the right things. Second, I would say, remember that meaning isn't found only in big milestones. It lives in the small wins. The note from a nonprofit partner or the intern who says, you made me feel seen, or the team member who grows under your mentorship. If you start to look for those moments of purpose, they start showing up everywhere. And finally, give yourself grace. You do not have to carry everything alone. Find your people, your champions, your thought partners, your sounding boards, and then lean on them. None of us builds impact or sustains purpose in isolation. So we are in this work because we care. That's our superpower, but also our responsibility to protect. You can't pour from an empty cup. So stay rooted, stay connected, and know that purpose isn't just what you do, it's how you show up.
Tiffany, the floor is yours. Any final thoughts?
To everyone listening, thank you for the work you do to move purpose forward, whether it's through policy, innovation, partnership, or people. This community gives me hope, and it reminds me that social impact isn't just a job title. It's a mindset. It's a movement. Michael, thank you again for the platform, for the great questions, and for continuing to spotlight the power of business to do good. It's been a real joy.
Thank you, Tiffany. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. We hope that the next inspiring story will be yours. For ongoing inspiration about how to make your difference, subscribe to Meaningful Impact, wherever you listen to podcasts.